Hey, what's going on, everybody? From the College of Professional and Continuing Education at Cal State Long Beach, I'm Dr. Pahul Sukhasikhan with Pacing Your Future, a podcast that charts the course of today's most exciting industries and the people that help shape them. Discover the many opportunities within the numerous fields we cover and be inspired by the stories of notable individuals who have paved their own paths. And just like our name suggests, our mission is to pace ahead, be proactive, adaptable, creative, and engaged. Whether you're seeking career insights, industry trends, or just simply inquisitive, let's pace your future together. And today we are joined by Maya Razanin, who is the Director of Education at the Intermodal Association of North America, or IANA, where she leads both in-person and virtual education initiatives, including the Future Leaders of Intermodal Program, FLIP, and the Joanne F. Casey Scholarship Program, which proudly includes California State University at Long Beach. A lifelong advocate for learning, Maya has held various roles in training and education space across sectors such as transportation, accreditation, and real estate, and previously taught middle school math through Teach for America. She holds a bachelor's degree in American Studies from the University of Notre Dame and a master's in instructional design and technology from the University of West Virginia. Thank you for joining us, Maya.
Oh, so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So we usually start our podcast with the fun question. So let's start off with fun. Imagine your industry is the main character in the blockbuster movie because Los Angeles. What's the plot and who are its main characters?
Oh, what a fun question indeed to start out with. So I thought, man, I have like three different answers already that I've been working through, but definitely something where some kind of like Mr. Holland's Opus-esque vibe where all of the different functions within Intermodal are working together to produce something beautiful and harmonious. But instead of us being the conductors in the front, we're kind of in the back, out of the scenes a little bit. So I think I'll go with that one for today.
Very poetic.
That's me.
Wrapped up in IANA, right? Just for a little introduction, can you tell our listeners a little about yourself and your current role? And what do you enjoy most about it?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So as you said, my name is Maya Razanin. I am currently the Director of Education at IANA, the Intermodal Association of North America, where I'm very lucky to get to lead our in-person and virtual offerings, as well as oversee professional development opportunity for our Future Leaders program and our scholarship program. And so what I really very much enjoy is serving our members. I've been fortunate to work in several different fields, as you mentioned, throughout my tenure in education. But I think first and foremost, it's that member service aspect of the job, getting to see the direct outcomes of your work day to day and making others better because of such in the intermodal industry in this case.
Nice. And so what brought you into this industry and field? Because like I said, you came from American Studies. So what was that shift?
Right after I was done studying all of America, almost there. I love to study, apparently. So I was always interested in education. I had the opportunity in college to partake in a public policy program that brought me to Washington, D.C., during undergrad. So I always knew I wanted to be involved in DC in some capacity. I was very much into the nonprofit world, so I thought that would be my future. I interned at, it was called Child Welfare League of America, working on some different initiatives there. So it was always my desire to get back to DC in some capacity. So after serving as a teacher for a couple years, I was in Mississippi, Delaware in those situations, wanted to get back into education in some capacity. It's kind of one of those things in life where this is what you do and this is what you do, then this is what you do. And then all of a sudden, I didn't know what I was supposed to do next. So trying to get back into education, I came across this whole entire world of association life that nobody talks about much outside the DMV, as we call in DC, DC, Maryland, Virginia. Feel like, you know, something I never had heard about in college, even having been in DC, didn't know until that internship much about it. So, you know, there's thousands upon thousands of associations in the greater DC area. So initially applied once upon a time about over a decade plus ago at this point, and was at a truckload association. So that was my initial foray into transportation once upon a time. Complete random application. Got brought in, really, again, enjoyed the work of the association, getting to do so much and work with really great folks, and kind of ended up back there again a decade later here in transportation in general. So yeah, fascinating world. Association life, never a dull day for sure.
And I totally understand. Like, I mean, like when I initially left academia, like you go into these different routes of like, different jobs and different industries and you just happen to find your way and you settle, right? Not settle, but like you are able to exist in a certain, in different spheres, right? So I totally understand your foray into that. So working with IANA, what projects are you currently working on that make you excited?
Well, first and foremost, top of mind, we have our Intermodal Expo is coming up real soon, next month, September 15th to the 17th out in Ural's backyard there at the Long Beach Convention Center. So definitely staying really busy with getting all of our speakers lined up, planning for such, getting all those calls in motion. And we're kind of right in the crunch time right now where everything's magically and, you know, effectively coming together. So happy with how that's going. And then in conjunction with such, we also do, as I mentioned, for our scholarship program, it's really fun. We do an academic case competition on site. So we're working on that planning as well. So that's really neat. The teams, it's mostly undergraduate universities that we work with. So we have representative student teams that come on site and are given a hypothetical case that they need to solve within 6 hours and then present the next day, a 10-minute presentation each of them. So that's really fascinating to see all of the extraordinary outcomes that they come up with under that pressure cooker, and the level of output that's produced is really quite reassuring for the future, for sure. So staying busy with that. And then our last, with our Future Leaders program, we're excited to have our second cohort of such will be meeting again at Expo, and we'll be wrapping up our first. So everything, Expo isn't our whole world. I know that's kind of a common misconception with associations many times. It's just like, oh, I'm going to IANA. IANA means our expo. That's all IANA is to folks, right? Obviously, we have tons of things going on throughout the year, but happen to have lots of things going on at Expo too. So staying busy in preparation for staying busy there too.
So maybe you can tell our audiences when the expo is?
Sure. So the bulk of the programming is September 15th through the 17th. So we have different networking events, a large show floor, educational. We have general sessions. So we have lights, camera, action. It's very much a show in that case. It's very well done for the size association we are. And then we host several rounds of concurrent sessions based on critical industry topics as well. And then that case competition I was telling you about, it starts on Sunday, the 14th. So bonus day of action, and they present on that Monday. So that's open to attendees as well that are there.
That's amazing. And so I know we talked about how you got into the industry and the field, but can you tell us a little bit of how you got specifically involved with IANA itself?
Sure. I was looking to make a change in my path. I had been at a local association at that point, focusing on realtors and property managers and such, and just was looking to get back on the international, national association, North American in this case, but we have international members beyond North America, but was looking to get back into the association space and that world in some capacity. So again, was just a LinkedIn post that I found, one of the magic ones that you actually hear back from before. It's right, not always the case on different service providers there, but just did a reach out on LinkedIn and, you know, vetted. I have a couple different friends still in the industry at different associations from my truckload days. And so, you know, ran it by a couple folks, made sure they had heard of it kind of thing, right? And yeah, got a call back and it all went pretty quickly. And so I've been there. It's still under 2 years only. So it's been a very busy 2 years and third expo. So I got hired. My first week was basically our expo that year. So just was on the ground right away. So
On the
happy
ground and
was
running.
where, yeah, I gotta stay busy. I like it. I like it that way. I like the event, seeing, showing up, getting there from behind the desk for sure is the fun part of the job as well.
Amazing. So it seems like you have some experience and a lot of experience with IANA and the industry. So can you explain to us what the intermodal transportation is and why is it so important to the supply chain?
Sure. So how, you know, there are various definitions of what intermodal is, so, and how it relates to multimodal, but what we use for simplicity for intermodal, we like to say it's the movement of cargo in shipping containers or trailers by more than one mode of transportation. So like I hit on, our members are marine, all the ships carrying the containers. We have the motor carriers, in this case, drayage trucks that are taking that container. We have all the major class one rails and short line rails as well. We have our 3PLs who help broker the deal and make sure that the cargo keeps moving. And then we have all of our wonderful suppliers who do everything and anything under the sun in order to make sure that that process is running efficiently and effectively. And so, to your point about why it's important, stats we like to cite are that globally, 95% of all manufactured goods at one point are moved in a container. So we're talking about approximately, $50 billion plus annual revenue that's generated. So a lot of industrial and bulk goods, your consumer goods, agricultural goods that are so necessary and key for different manufacturers, retails, consumers across the board. So really, keeping the supply chain moving in that capacity.
So, I mean, maybe in your own words, why do you think IANA is so important in shaping the industry and the industry of supply chain?
Yeah, for sure. So we like to say that we're the connecting force of intermodal. It's kind of one of our taglines. Kind of our mission is to grow the efficient intermodal freight transportation through innovation, education, and dialogue. And so what we're really trying to do is give that space for these critical conversations to occur across four key players within our industry. So we're about breaking down silos, getting folks from all different parts of intermodal in the room, talking together, addressing critical needs, and tackling those issues. And then we're also, beyond just our in-person events, virtual events, education, obviously, as well, making sure people have the information they need to effectively do their job and stay on top of what's needed on an ever-changing industry. And then something we're getting even more into as of late, really on the advocacy side as well, hitting Capitol Hill, supporting our members that are appearing on Capitol Hill, and making sure that the legislative and regulatory environment, having our voice heard in such in a way that we haven't been as much as of in the past couple of years, but really looking to up that voice as well. And then additionally, one more thing that often is overlooked, we have for too quite a bit of data around trends in the industry, so different volume analyzers and partnership with some other folks that provide analysis on what the lanes are looking like and different volume numbers in that world. So just really trying to offer as many different services as possible to ultimately better the company as the member and the industry overall.
That's great. You know, it sounds like IANA is like the connective thread for a lot of these industries and getting transport and transportation going. Maybe you can talk about how IANA then thus supports the growth and efficiency of intermodal freight transportation.
Sure. Something I guess I didn't hit on as much in talking through what all we have. Our committees are a really critical part of our structure. So we have three different committees, M&R, so maintenance and repair committee. We have a safety and security committee, and we have our operations ops committee. So those folks are really doing a lot of work as far as looking at different issues that are arising and how best to address such. So they're looking at how to be more efficient and with data. They're looking at cargo theft and how to tackle such. They're looking at toll violation misreporting and how that should be addressed differently. So that's really another forum where quite a bit of conversation occurs. And again, it's members, individuals from our member companies. We have about 1,000 member companies, and as many individuals as want to join can join from their company. So really getting those different voices and perspectives heard from our different segments so that they can coalesce to form an opinion and an output that is effective for all as best as possible in the name of intermodal.
So one of the big things that we wanted to focus on in this conversation was education, especially since you are the director of education at ANA and we are Cal State Long Beach. And so one of the questions that we had was, how does IANA's education program support the development of future professionals in the intermodal and freight transportation industries?
Yeah, absolutely. So across the board, so I to start with for our webinars, as far as we have webinars monthly at least, those are all no charge to members, but that's where we bring in those in the industry that really know the stuff, right? And are able to have those conversations. And those are open to all our members. So that's really, we do some that are basic, we do some that are advanced, we do some that are tailored to the middle, right? As we do in education. So it's fascinating, IANA specifically, as far as our membership, because, and we'll hopefully touch on this a little bit more, but we have students on our programming or in our rooms, so from high school all the way through seasoned vets that are, have been in the industry for 45 years and are considered one of the voices, right, kind of folks in intermodal. So I think that's really key, is that we offer these different educational opportunities that really meet individuals no matter where they are in their journey in the industry. So that's definitely one major area. Also, another, going back to our scholarship program, we do quite a bit of work. That's an interesting program and structure here too, having seen different scholarship programs and previous positions, because we are very much involved at the university level, not an individual level. Individuals very much benefit at each of our partner institutions, but just the depth and breadth of what we're able to do with our scholarship program and how many different students across the country are affected by the funding that we're able to give and are learning intermodal that might not have been learning intermodal, experiencing different activities because of funding, you know, is something that's truly unique and special at IANA. So that's another huge educational component. And our, I assume I'll talk more about our Future Leaders program too, but really, like I was saying, trying to just meet people and kind of working on developing this pipeline of education from high school through retirement and trying to build out what are those critical skills that you need, what are the issues that matter, how can you be successful at point A, B, C, D, E, right? So thinking through those pathways and how best to meet those needs throughout such.
That's amazing. I think, you know, and I think scholarships are so important because, you know, as our college dealing with a lot of non-credit programs and meeting folks who are already in their careers or, you know, trying to upscale or, you know, reimagine where they're coming from, I think, you know, scholarships go a long way because everyone needs that, you know, financial assistance, you know, that'll bolster them up, right, a little bit. So I know you said that with scholarships, you work not necessarily with the individual, but like with the university. Are these scholarships open to everyone?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yeah, sort of. It depends, right? I've been on a I'm very used to being on your side of it and hearing everybody say it depends, right? On different things. So we work through an approval process. We currently have 14 institutions that we work with nationally, the vast majority of which largely serve undergrad students. We have your fabulous professional development program, and then obviously tied to the undergrad and grad there. And then we also have one exclusively grad program that we work with as well. So they're vetted through a process here in order to be approved. We're trying to grow about 1 to 2 schools per year on our roster here, but it's a pretty thorough application process. We have certain buckets of reporting that they have to meet in order to get, we don't just give you the money at the end kind of thing. They have to meet continual reporting requirements. There's certain, like I was saying, the buckets across which you have to spend the money that is given to you, that's broken down into different segments. So those schools that are able to complete, they do a proposal process, an application process. It gets vetted internally. It gets vetted through. We have a dedicated scholarship committee. That's one of our executive committees that's made up of those select individuals from the board specifically. So that's not a open to all process. Those are board members deciding on the scholarship proposal. And then that's how the schools get to be part of the program. So those that make it in kind of stay in and they get it. It's not just a here's a check, best of luck. It's really we're building a community of learning focused on intermodal with measurable outcomes and really looking to bolster the content being taught across universities as well.
I love that idea of building community, what you just said, because it's like, people, a lot of folks think that they're out there by themselves doing the work, like trying to figure everything out. But, a lot of these industries, like and all these companies like IANA or entities or CPACE, which we represent, we're all about building our students up, right? And building our networks up and building our partners up, right? It's something that I keep saying is like, we lift as we climb. And so, like, how do we bring folks to the table and kind of support them all through the process, right? So I love that you said community. It's great.
Yeah, it's really wonderful too to see at the different in-person events. Largely the scholarship competition, like I said, just takes place at our expo, but we also have one of our partner universities, University of North Florida, in this case, that hosts a scholarship competition that is the majority of their funding for their award. And it's so fabulous to see the students. I myself was a government geek camp kind of kid, and so thus the love of DC. I wanted to be in DC for such, and just having those friends from across the nation who were like-minded that enjoyed going and writing proposals and debating such, right? So it is really fun to see the different students come together, and I've seen them now across the years. I don't want to say offenders, repeat children across the different competitions. And just how much they enjoy it. And again, enjoying that camaraderie of, hey, here's these other crazy kids who enjoy doing presentations for fun under a time limit with no outcome besides, the betterment of my whole future, obviously being the outcome. But to get those kids in the room and see the experiences that our program is able to afford them, and hearing the classic stories of like, this is my first flight ever, this is my first time out of the state, right? Like those kind of experiences, and knowing, especially when times are difficult in so many other ways for students, knowing that we're able to provide those experiences and those opportunities is very much again, something unique to IANA and something that we really value as an organization.
So thinking about opportunities and experiences, right? I think that the landscape, education, and everything is shifting in the U.S. How do you envision the vision? How do you envision the future of education shifting in the intermodal industry? And what role does IANA pl will IANA play in shaping it?
Yeah, big daunting questions, right? What is the future of education? So in our case, we've have a legacy of being able, through the scholarship program, through our different in-person virtual offerings, to have really influenced so much operationally for our members and be the definitive voice on, you know, where to turn to if I need information on intermodal. I'm going to IANA, right? And so I think just continuing, like we talked about earlier, those pathways of success and progression for our members will be something that will be key in meeting them where they are in their educational journey. We're just getting started. That's, you know, very excited with our Future Leaders program being only about to wrap up our first cohort, heading on to our second. So we're just getting started on kind of, again, developing another community of learners together there and having that camaraderie. So thinking about just making sure we have offerings throughout that are able to help the individual on their journey and better their education, thinking through, you know, we're constantly having conversations around what does a session look like at Expo, right? Do we shorten it? Do we lengthen it? How many speakers? What's the magic sauce, right? And we go back and forth on that, but just being able to provide information that's relevant for what folks need and, you know, really continuing to grow our offerings as far as we don't yet have anything much in the certification land. And so, or we've recently launched too, in partnership with one of our scholarship schools, our Intermodal 101 basics, a course at this point, but we're looking to really make it a course because right now it is a very in-depth content information source with, you know, all, oh, it's about 600 pages altogether, but it is modularized. And so that's something we worked with at the University of Maryland and University of Delft is a gentleman, Alexander, there in partnership as part of their scholarship program. So continuing to build out that offering and other offerings so that, you know, folks can turn to us for their the professionalization of their skill sets and making sure we have something for such.
Great. So I think, you know, I'm sure this question has come up with you and Diana, and I feel like it's coming up everywhere. How, talking about futures, futurescapes, how is technology like automation, AI, and data analytics changing the way intermodal logistics work?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got a session on that is always the answer, I feel like. But no, AI continues, obviously, to be, I don't want to say hot topic as someone my age, because then I'm ultimately in the mall thinking about hot topic, but, you know, a critical conversation to have around AI. So we'll again have a session at our Intermodal Expo next month, but just another one where the depth of breadth of what's possible and what that looks like in the future is fascinating to hear from. So I'm lucky to be in the room for these conversations with folks that know quite a bit more about this, and this is their life, this is their livelihood. So just kind of gleaning information from them across these conversations, just as far as road safety, route optimization, trying to connect disparate legacy systems, AI, agent augmentation, you know, for specific examples. But I do have one speaker, so I'm borrowing heavily from a presentation, Chris McCoot, shout out here, Chris, from Sidetracks. But he really broke it down well in his presentation, and we'll touch on it again at Expo in a revamped, reimagined way here. But he broke it down as four pillars, which is a good way for me as someone who likes structure in education. Thinking through, he liked to liken it, those four pillars being those large language models that can obviously, you know, would help across any industry, but just how much time is being saved with reports, content creation, marketing, proposals, policy docs, and that. Another, he used talking through, we talked about AI agents quite a bit, and we'll have someone speaking to such at our session at Expo. And again, thinking about booking and scheduling independently, rate comparisons, admin, automation, customer communications, data entry, document management. So those on the basic side. The third one we like to talk about, applied AI tech. So that's getting into more of the action-based and critical digital thinking there for our tasks. So predict demand, maintenance trends, tracking the actual flow of your assets to make sure you know where they are, you can predict where they are, carbon emission output, asset usage, like we talked about on that, and then really the analytical as well. So seeing quite a bit of work there coming around in forecasting, decision making, predicting volumes and trends, optimization, et cetera, right? So really across the board, a lot of efficient and effective operations being bettered because of all these different avenues that folks are using AI at the port, on their truck, in their office. And then I know too, when you asked about data, I had the opportunity, like you, to get to interview leaders across the industry and pick their brains on things. So, you know, just the data explosion that's occurred across the past 25 years. You know, I asked someone, what's the biggest change you've seen in intermodal? There's like the amount of data that's available, right? So that was another one of our, we call them task force working groups, basically subcommittee, one of their projects they worked on as far as just how to manage that data across these different systems, across our different modes in the industry, what that standard needs to look like, what are next steps in order to make this truly usable and effective. And again, to make sure we are operating as one intermodal as much as possible.
So I want to go back to something that you frequently mentioned in this interview, the future leaders of intermodal program. So can you explain to our audiences what the program is and how does it help young professionals grow within the industry?
Absolutely. Yes. Something I'm most jazzed about. I'm jazzed about lots of things. But the Future Leaders program is something I'm personally very proud of, and our team of two. I have one teammate, Brittany. Brittany and I are both very proud of. As far as launching this program, we had tried some different iterations in the past, and just, you know, for different reasons, weren't able to get it up and going. So we're doing it, and it's exciting. So to start a new program is pretty fun to be a part of. But the whole point on our Future Leaders program, FLIP, we like to call it, so we like to call them flippers behind the scenes. So the point of our flippers is really to get different perspectives, those younger to the industry, nothing about age, because we want a diverse perspective. So this isn't a who's who under 40 program, you're whatever age you are, but we were really targeting folks with 2 to 5 years of experience in intermodal specifically, and that are manager or below. So we found there was a needed gap as far as skill sets, leadership development at that point in order to, you know, keep folks in the industry and effective leaders and team members in their respective companies. So the whole intent was to offer these educational and networking opportunities for them to get together and learn about intermodal, learn about different leadership styles, learn how to operate through a crisis, and have the ability to interact with so many different folks at different levels in their career. So we're bringing them to our meetings. And they sit together, they hang out together, they're recognized in our general sessions, and just giving them again an opportunity to be together and break down again. Breaking down silos is something we say a lot too, and it was one of the tenets of forming the program, so that we break down silos of, it's not just you work for a motor carrier, you just know motor carrier, you know drayage, the end. We're offering them the opportunity for both vertical advancement, but then also just lateral peer networking, so that they're not, you know, if I need somebody, we have folks from every single segment of the industry, so it's great. So if I need somebody from rail, there's people in rail there. You don't have to worry about trying to cold call and ask somebody a specific question that you won't get a reply to, no matter which company you're going to across which segment, right? So it's just nice to be like, oh, I have this question. Oh, I know this lady from our cohort. She could probably help me out, right? So just really, again, building this sense of community and personal development for, but also obviously with the end goal being better development of leaders for intermodal so that they stay as well. So it's been fabulous. They're fabulous. We went axe throwing together in Kansas City. It was fun. We're getting ready. We're going to have a completion ceremony for the first cohort. We have about 23, 24 folks in that cohort. So really great. You know, 18 to 24 was the ideal. So we hit it. And then for our second cohort, we have 20 folks, 20 individuals starting up, and we'll do kind of an intermodal pre-meeting before Expo, and Expo will be their first chance to all get together and network and just be invested, right? Because with so many things, no matter, it's always however much you put into it, it's what you get out of it. So that we say that a lot too in association world, right? Where we're here, come use what you need to use from the association. We would love to help how we can. So this is just, you know, a good tangible benefit for our members too. So they can point to, what is my membership getting me? Oh, I have this superstar in this program. Like, that's an easy thing to point to. That's really our members have appreciated as well.
That's amazing. I think just on a side note, you were like, you went from plural crises to singular crisis. And like, you know, nowadays I feel like the plural is very apropos for everything. It's like crises all the time.
I was just like, who knows what I was talking about at that point, right? All of the above was probably what I was talking about at that point.
So one of the things you mentioned were like the skill sets that the flippers need to apply. But what do you think, just quickly, what are some skill sets or skills and knowledge that students need to succeed in the intermodal logistics industry today?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is another one where I get to pick people's brains from different companies that I have in different speaking engagements. So I know first and foremost, communication and collaboration, right? It's not specific to intermodal, but just so critical as far as being able to work well with others and able to tackle these complex problems across your own system and larger systems is definitely something that needs to continue to be championed. I think we hear a lot too about adaptability, because so many things can go so many different ways in trying to execute the life cycle of the load. And so just being able to adapt to whatever is dealt for you that day is one I hear quite a bit. Well, we have different speakers talk a lot about the power of being a generalist as well and getting to learn as much as you can at your company. We have, you know, some very large member companies that we work with. So it's interesting to hear all the different experiences those new within that company get to have and how they get to work within the different departments so that they get a good sense of what goes on to make that company run. So I think, you know, not pigeonholing yourself, I guess I would say, right? Coming out of these different supply chain programs across the nation, because there's just so many different opportunities available and so many different roles across intermodal. We have students that are on the ships running, you know, that'll run the ships and make sure they get there. And we have people that are graphic designers making the marketing materials. And we have folks that are making sure that the equipment, you know, and upside of it, making sure the equipment gets to wherever it needs to be at the time it's supposed to be, right? So we just have so many different avenues for folks that, you know, you've probably heard a lot too. A lot of students right about now got really interested during COVID with everything that was going on. And it kind of became like supply chain was in the news every single day. Exciting to them, right? And so knowing that the opportunities that are available to them, I think it's really focusing on that. Again, from our scholarship program, I get to see all the different experiences students have. We have so many different universities doing wonderful things as far as field studies, experiential learning, getting on site, seeing what a port actually looks like, going to these different ramps, seeing what those look like. So just really taking advantage of that experience to bolster their skills as much as possible at that point, I think is so critical too. If I were a student at that point in my career, just taking advantage of everything. Again, I guess it's coming. The American studies general liberal arts person was like, career placement, what's that, right? And having worked in different accredited vocational schools once upon a time. So they did a wonderful job in career placement, right? But I think a lot of our supply chain programs are just doing such fabulous work on different career placement opportunities for their students and the partnerships with companies that they have. A lot of our scholarship schools are based by where some pretty major players are in intermodal. So that's kind of how the program spun to be once upon a time, right? So just the different opportunities that they have, knowing, you know, they're set up for success after school. That's why I think, you know, just so critical to focus a lot on those softer skills, because that's not, I'm not concerned about the content that's being taught in any capacity, but the, you know, truly those, that collaboration and adaptability and just being able to talk to people goes a long way, as a new student coming into the field. So that's what I would tell them.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's like one of the things as a former educator myself, I think, you know, well, that's one of the things that a lot of students are missing nowadays is like the interpersonal skills and how to, you know, speak to someone, how to interview with someone, how to like present yourself in a certain way, right? That is professional. Maybe it's me, the millennial in me speaking out right now. Pre-social right. media.
Right. No, I get a lot. Yeah, no, I hear you. I think we're speaking the same language here on that, because it's just, yeah, I'm not back in my day right now. But no, it's so much about, right? Like, I just feel like a lot of us are taught, programmed, want, you know, do your best, work hard, and you'll be great, right? But it's not just you. You got a team, and know your role, and that's okay, whatever your role is. Like, work hard, no matter what your job is. Work hard at it. You never know what your next avenue will be. You never know who you'll run into. You never know what opportunity will exist. You don't know who's who, right, in any situation. So that's another, you know, from different leadership interviews I've heard from some big players, just hearing them say, like, you know, the classic treat everybody as if they're the CEO, right? Like, because you don't know who they are, and who cares who they are? Everybody deserves respect and to have you be your best self with them, right? So I think a lot of that is definitely continuing to be stressed. And it's not just output, 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 KPI, 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 right? It's just like, we're people. We need to talk to what's still first and foremost. We do a lot with technology, a lot with equipment, but there's very much the people side and everything.
One of the interviews we had previously had with Willie Zuniga, he was telling us that, and telling our students when he came to our campus, that you always have to act like every time you meet someone, it's always going to be like an informal interview. Like, you're supposed to present yourself, because you never know who you're talking to, the CEO, you know, head operations person, or you never. So it's just like, how do we develop these skill sets to be interpersonal, interact, be collaborative, right? Working with the team, you know. Live beyond the silo. So yeah, I think it's great that you brought this up. Just localizing the next question a little bit, how has Cal State Long Beach's partnership with the Intermodal Association North America impacted student opportunities in logistics and transportation?
Yeah, so you all are doing fabulous work. You know better than me. No, that's not the end of that question. That would be a really sad reply. But no, like I mentioned, we're really lucky through our Joni M, not MF, Joni Casey, our previous president and CEO, was in that role for 27 years. And one of the things she cared most about was our scholarship program. So I feel very fortunate and understand, you know, trying to keep her legacy going. We named the program after her moving forward, because, you know, this was really her biggest project that she championed throughout her tenure and did such a fabulous job with it. So this program, our scholarship program, has been around since 2007. So we've been able to award over $6 million to institutions in order to better education and freight and intermodal transportation. Specifically with you all, we've been in partnership since 2018. And we've been happy through the end of next year. We've been able to award $240,000 to Cal State Long Beach And specifically, as you know, we work primarily in conjunction with the Center for International Trade and Transportation there. And so our funding goes toward specifically your GLP program, the Global Logistics Professional Program. So we pay, like I was saying earlier, there's different buckets that our spending has to go to. So one of those buckets is direct tuition support. So we've been able to fund the direct tuition for those students in the program, dozens upon dozens in the past 7 years. So that's a wonderful outcome. We do curriculum development funding as well. So in your all's case with that program, I know it's been around almost 30 years, 25 plus years there. So they're currently revamping and reimagining the specifically of the two courses individuals take, the Trends in Global Trade offering. And so that's being moved to an asynchronous offering. So our funding for curriculum development has gone towards that project and making that a reality so that you can, again, attract such an interesting mix of students. I know in reading the outcome reports from your all's grant across the years that it's a fascinating mix of individuals that get to take the program and receive our funding. So I know you have folks in high school. I know you have college seniors. I know you have research associates. I know you have individuals that have been in transportation 35 years. You have folks just looking to get into transportation. What I thought was really cool, last year we were able to fund a couple ESL instructors as well at your all's American Language Institute because they're starting an English for Logistics program. So we put a couple of those instructors through. So another great outcome of being able to have such a diverse population taking these courses and getting the exposure to transportation and logistics that might not have otherwise been able to if the program weren't being funded through you all, thanks to the scholarship grant there. So fabulous things happening and looking forward to continuing the partnership. So glad that we have it. Absolutely.
Yeah definitely. I just wanted to end this interview with impact and legacy. What legacy do you hope to leave through your work at IANA?
Oh, man. No, that's quite the question. Yeah. You've come to the end. It's not like, what are you having for dinner tonight? Like, that's
what are you having for dinner?
I don't know. We just got our HelloFresh. We just got our HelloFresh box earlier today. I have to see what's in it. No, but I guess when we're talking about legacy, really just wanting to help make sure that others are able to be better in some capacity because of something that we did, right? It's really about that impact of trying to do something that matters every day, right? I guess having been a teacher, there were some rough days where you're, starting out just wondering, is anything I'm doing mattering, right? Kind of a feel. So that's kind of where my mindset is day in and day out. So just thinking through, did I do something that matters to someone today in some way? Will my work make them better in their job? Will my work be able to give them an experience that they might not have otherwise given? Will my work, making sure that period isn't a comma in our offering, I love editing, will that kind of work make sure that our educational offerings are at the standard that they should be so that there's, a seal of approval that this is an effective course to be taken, right? Like all of those kind of considerations, I think just really making sure, focus on what matters, and what matters is making sure what you're doing is impactful to someone else and makes their life better in some capacity is the hope day in and day out. So yeah. We're trying that on Monday today, at least. So we'll keep it going for the week.
I think that's so heartwarming, and I'm glad you were talking about like making impact, because I think one of the things personally for me, I used to, before working at Cal State Long Beach, I was working in corporate, and after a while, being a former educator, teaching at the University of Hawaii at Manoa and San Francisco State University, working corporate, you you start to lose purpose, and you start to, you want purpose of helping people, right? Personally, for me, being a nonprofit and being education. So, you know, I think, you know, you and I are aligned in the work that we do in terms of like wanting to make sure that there's a difference to be made. And hopefully like this, things like this podcast will help forward people's careers and lives where they can go forth and, you know, reap the bounty that is there for them. So, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, absolutely. No matter what it may be, making sure we're doing something, right? If it's our floor design is tailored well so that your booth is fabulous where it is, right? Like that matters that day, right? So just so many opportunities because so much, you know, what matters to folks really differs. So trying to, again, meet them where they are and do, yeah, do something to make their business and themselves better is the goal.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today, Maya. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, love the conversation. Thank you both.
Thank you for tuning in to Pacing Your Future. We hope today's installment has inspired you and provided valuable insights into the dynamic world of industry and innovation. Stay tuned with us for more stories, opportunities, and expert advice to help you navigate and shape your future. Until next time, keep pacing your future with confidence and curiosity.